After a while, Madame Pomfrey came out of her office, this time wearing a thick dressing gown. It was easiest to feign sleep. Harry rolled over onto his side and listened to all the curtains closing themselves as she waved her wand. The lamps dimmed, and she returned to her office. He heard the door click behind her and knew that she was off to bed. This was, Harry reflected in the darkness, the third time that he had been brought to the hospital wing because of a Quidditch injury. Last time he had fallen off his broom due to the presence of Dementors around the pitch, and the time before that all the bones had been removed from his arm by the incurably inept Professor Lockhart. That had been his most painful injury by far. He remembered the agony of regrowing an arm full of bones in one night, a discomfort not eased by the arrival of an unexpected visitor in the middle of the... Harry sat bolt upright, his heart pounding, his bandaged turban askew. He had the solution at last. There was a way to have Malfoy followed. How could he have forgotten? Why hadn't he thought of it before? But the question was, how to call him? What did you do? Quietly, tentatively, Harry spoke into the darkness. Creature! There was a very loud crack, and the sounds of scuffling and squeaks filled the silent room. Ron awoke with a yelp. What's going? Harry pointed his wand hastily at the door of Madame Pomfrey's office and muttered, Muffliato! So that she would not come running. Then he scrambled to the end of his bed for a better look at what was going on. Two house elves were rolling around on the floor in the middle of the dormitory, one wearing a shrunken maroon jumper and several woolly hats, the other a filthy old rag strung over his hips like a loincloth. Then there was another loud bang, and Peeves the poltergeist appeared in midair above the wrestling elves.
I was watching that potty,
he told Harry indignantly, pointing at the fight below, before letting out a loud cackle.
Look at the yickle creatures squabbling, bitey bitey, punchy punchy. Creature will not insult Harry Potter in front of Dobby. No, he won't, or Dobby will shut Creature's mouth for him, cried Dobby in a high-pitched voice. Kicky, scratchy, cried Peeves happily, now pelting bits of chalk at the elves to enrage them further. Tweaky, pokey.
Creature will say what he likes about his master. Oh, yes, and what a master he is. Filthy friend of mudblood. Oh, what would poor Creature's mistress say?
Exactly what Creature's mistress would have said, they did not find out. For at that moment, Dobby sank his knobbly little fist into Creature's mouth and knocked out half of his teeth. Harry and Ron both leapt out of their beds and wrenched the two elves apart, though they continued to try and kick and punch each other, egged on by Peeves, who swooped around the lamp squealing,
Stick your fingers up his nosy, draw his cork and pull his earses.
Harry aimed his wand at Peeves and said, Langlock! Peeves clutched at his throat, gulped, then swooped from the room, making obscene gestures but unable to speak, owing to the fact that his tongue had just glued itself to the roof of his mouth. Nice one, said Ron appreciatively, lifting Dobby into the air so that his flailing limbs no longer made contact with Creature. That was another Prince Hex, wasn't it? Yeah, said Harry, twisting Creature's wizened arm into a half-Nelson. Right, I'm forbidding you to fight each other. Well, Creature, you're forbidden to fight Dobby. Dobby? I know I'm not allowed to give you orders.
Dobby is a free house elf and he can obey anyone he likes, and Dobby will do whatever Harry Potter wants him to do,
said Dobby, tears now streaming down his shriveled little face onto his jumper. Okay, then, said Harry, and he and Ron both released the elves, who fell to the floor but did not continue fighting.
Master called me,
croaked Creature, sinking into a bow, even as he gave Harry a look that plainly wished him a painful death. Yeah, I did, said Harry, glancing toward Madame Pomfrey's office door to check that the Muffliato spell was still working. There was no sign that she had heard any of the commotion. I've got a job for you.
Creature will do whatever Master wants,
said Creature, sinking so low that his lips almost touched his gnarled toes.
Because Creature has no choice. But Creature is ashamed to have such a master, yes.
Dobby will do it, Harry Potter,
squeaked Dobby, his tennis ball-sized eyes still swimming in tears.
Dobby would be honoured to help Harry Potter.
Come to think of it, it would be good to have both of you, said Harry. Okay, then, I want you to tail Draco Malfoy. Ignoring the look of mingled surprise and exasperation on Ron's face, Harry went on, I want to know where he's going, who he's meeting, and what he's doing. I want you to follow him around the clock.
Yes, Harry Potter,
said Dobby at once, his great eyes shining with excitement.
And if Dobby does it wrong, Dobby will throw himself off the topmost tower, Harry Potter.
There won't be any need for that, said Harry hastily.
Master wants me to follow the youngest of the Malfoys, croaked Creature. Master wants me to spy upon the pure-blood great-nephew of my old mistress.
That's the one, said Harry, foreseeing a great danger and determining to prevent it immediately. And you're forbidden to tip him off, Creature, or to show him what you're up to, or to talk to him at all, or to write him messages, or to contact him in any way. Got it? He thought he could see Creature struggling to see a loophole in the instructions he had just been given, and waited. After a moment or two, and to Harry's great satisfaction, Creature bowed deeply again and said, with bitter resentment,
Master thinks of everything, and Creature must obey him, even though Creature would much rather be the servant of the Malfoy boy. Oh, yes.
That's settled then, said Harry. I'll want regular reports, but make sure I'm not surrounded by people when you turn up. Ron and Hermione are okay, and don't tell anyone what you're doing. Just stick to Malfoy like a couple of wart plasters.